Hello and welcome to the Bunnycast. Quave here. I hope you're well. This is another surprise episode. Every episode's a surprise, let's be honest. There's clearly no rhyme or reason to it. Although, having said that, as I record this, it's April 15th and tomorrow is, brace yourself, April the 16th, which is when you may have heard this or at some point in the future beyond that. Anyway, April 16th, 2024, which is when Shorts, the Bunny McGarry short story and novella collection, is coming out. We did this, by the way, because people... Basically, the reasoning behind it was we realised quite a lot of people hadn't read the short stories, to be honest, because, you know, different things. Some people don't like downloading books into Kindle from non-Amazon places and all this sort of stuff, and they don't take short story collections. So we basically, we were asked about it several times, so we decided let's put all the Bunny McGarry short stories in one place, because they were kind of scattered all over the place and in various different things. So now they're all in the one place, and there are new ones in there. So it's basically all of the Bunny ones that he's featured in previously, such as How to Send a Message, Dog Day Afternoon, which are the first short stories. Then there's Bloody Christmas, which is a novella. Good Deeds and Bad Intentions, which is a novella. And I think that's all of the previous ones. I could be wrong. I may well be forgetting the name or something. And then there is two newer ones, which are Meanwhile in Dublin, which is one. Some people got it if they were kind enough to pre-order the hardback of Relight My Fire from the Stranger Times side of things. But it's available to everyone now. And also a brand new one that no one's seen before called The Many Deaths of Timmy Branch, and which I will come on to in a minute, but I'm quite excited about it. I hope people enjoy it as much as I did writing it. But yeah, so that's the basic idea. We wanted all of this in one place. It will be available in all the formats, audio and stuff like that. Morgan has done a fantastic job, as you would fully expect, doing the Many Deaths of Timmy Branch as well as all the other new stuff. And yeah, it's going to be quite exciting to get it out. You can get it from our shop, whitehairedirishman.shop. You can get it from, you know, the audiobook there from us, which is cheaper. You can also get it from Audible and all. Yes, everywhere, basically, I think, at some point. It may not be on Audible immediately, but it will be on Audible, hopefully, fairly soon. Audible's a thing unto themselves. But yes, The Many Deaths of Timmy Branch. Just quickly, I'll explain the two newer ones. The Many Deaths of Timmy Branch, yes, was... the idea behind it was I've always wanted to write something that's set at the very start of Bunny's career. So this is a prequel to everything we've had so far, if you like. I don't know if I'll ever go earlier than this. Bunny as a young kid. I mean, it could happen, but I doubt it. But yeah, I always wanted to do something, him being a brand new guard. And bizarrely, and I'm not a man who spends a lot of time doing research, increasingly nowadays, just because my books aren't police procedurals, let's be honest. If you're looking for gritty realism, I'm not your man. But, you know, hopefully there's other things you do enjoy about the books. But having said that, the other thing is genuine, it's quite hard to find out about, specifically about the Irish Gardaí, as the Irish police, for anyone's confused by the word, because there's a lot written research-wise about, like, the British and, of course, American police, tons of stuff written about those. But actually, Ireland, because I guess the market's smaller, there isn't many books actually specifically about policing in Ireland. But there are a couple, one of which I found, and I found a fascinating piece of research where the guy was a homicide detective, but he just mentioned a weird task that sometimes members of the Gardaí have to do in order to, without giving any spoilers away, it'll become obvious when you hear the first chapter. But yeah, it's basically a thing to protect the chain of evidence, a rather weird thing that they have to do. And I always, when I had that idea, I always wanted to do a short story or a novella with it, and because it just was fun. And finally found the reason to do it, and I had a lot of fun writing it, and I hope you enjoy it. And then the other, that's very much the start of Bunny's career. The other end of the spectrum then is Meanwhile in Dublin, was basically the last McGarry Stateside book, Other Plans. Literally in the first chapter, there was a thing that's mentioned in it that, you know, without giving anything away, that would have repercussions in Dublin. And so we went back to Dublin. I wanted to go back to Dublin and kind of catch up with the whole crew. And it just felt like a nice thing to be able to go back and catch up with all the MCM investigations crew. And that's what that story's about. It also has, by the way, the favourite, yes, Wonderwise favourite opening chapter of any of my books or short stories or novellas. That's a novella, I think, yeah. Which is interesting because something that came out of this. So this episode, basically, as well as just letting you know about Shorts and all that, which is great. One thing that came up is somebody said, they asked about Dog Day Afternoon being in it. Said, oh, is that Dog Day Afternoon going to be in it? I said, oh, that's my favourite ever opening line of any book. And I was like, oh, wow. And I was like, to be fair, and I was thinking about it going, because openings are quite, like, opening lines, opening chapters are massively important, I think. Weirdly, I've been thinking about this, and that's kind of what I'm going to chat through today, is because I don't know why they are, but they are so massively important. I think it just sets the tone. I think even as the writer, it gets you excited, the opening thing. Because the opening line of Dog Day Afternoon is, I need a dead dog. Which, I have to say, I don't know why, but that is, despite the fact one of the very first things I wrote, I think Dog Day Afternoon, if I remember correctly, yes, I'd written A Man at One of Those Faces. Hadn't been published yet, though. And I was doing a crime writing seminar thing for a few days as part of the Masters in Creative Writing, which I have not finished. And they asked us to write a short story where you had, like, an unlikely crime-fighting duo coming together, and everyone else was doing things about, you know, the repressed criminologist lady who, you know, was too uptight and stuff, and the drunk policeman coming together and not getting on and stuff. Whereas I did one where, based on one of the films I really love, which don't really stand up to repeat watching, but it's a magnificent, I just loved them as kids so much, that specific genre that really took over for a couple of years in, like, the 80s, which was policeman and dog teaming up. Love it to bits. Which was the whole idea of that story. And bizarrely, that Maggie came out of that, who's featured in some of the other books, who's still a very popular character. We get ridiculous amounts of email asking about Maggie. So yeah, that was it. Because I kind of went through the rest of my opening lines. I don't think there's anything that compares to it. But I thought it was interesting just to look at how I started every book, kind of, to be honest. So I kind of went through them all for the last couple of hours. And I have to say, I found it very interesting. So A Man With, my very first book, weirdly, I can distinctly remember writing this. It's a conversation that's probably familiar to anyone who lives away from home. As obviously, I live in the UK and from Dublin, of course. Well, born in Limerick, but you know. But the opening, I can remember, and I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I started writing it, and it was a guy visiting somebody in hospital. And I only when I started writing the conversation, this is absolutely true, did I realise it would be set in Dublin. Because the conversation was the close classic Irish conversation, which is ringing up your mother or father, you know, and having a conversation where they ask you about someone you don't know, and then they tell you that person has died. And that's where the start of Man With One of Those Faces comes from. It is that conversation, classic conversation. Yes, and then The Day That Never Comes, which is book two. I always do, the other thing is I like a prologue. You may have noticed this, you've read a few of my books, and that was my first dip into the prologue world, certainly not the last. The prologue is quite dark. It's interesting because it's quite dark, which I think does sort of fit the tone of that book, because it wanted it to be quite sinister with everything that was going on. But it also features Detective Wilson throwing up and trying to get out of the house, which was, reading it again there now, I'd say it was an enjoyable start. And then there was chapter one proper of the book was the sort of weird little homage I did to crime detective, like classic crime detective things, where, like, the leggy blonde walks in and Paul's talking to him and stuff, and Maggie and him are having the thing, and we got quite a few emails of complaint about it. Well, a couple of people just didn't, you know, they discovered they didn't like me, but Paul trying to throw a poo out a window. You don't get that in the classic crime novels. Agatha Christie never had someone throw a poo out a window, as far as I'm aware. I've not read all of them, full disclosure. Angel in the Moonlight, I think this is probably my favourite actually opening actual chapter. Like, the first opening lines are all right, but it's basically open up and it's Rory Coyne, the guy on a ledge, like over Grafton Street. And I still love that as an opening. I think it's because, again, it's one of these things with the opening. I think why openings are such a big deal is when you're writing a book, when you go back to the start, because you reread it several times and stuff, and it's the first thing you read, and you end up working and reworking the opening chapter an awful lot, far more than anything else in the book. The ending rang just far more. It's always the opening chapter you end up spending the most time on because it's the first thing you've got, I guess. And it's always, I think, feels like it sets the tone really well, and it's very important. And, you know, hopefully it grabs the reader, because I guess I come from a TV background, so you're always trying to grab somebody early doors. There's different writers that say different things about you don't need to do that in books as much and blah, blah, blah. Personally, I always like trying to grab people's attention. I think that's a big thing you can see in all these openings, is you're hoping to grab people's attention. And yeah, the guy standing on the ledge and then Bunny popping up. And it's all the jokes about Lethal Weapon and stuff like that, which is a big feature of my writing. I like doing the sort of... I like the characters acknowledging how it's like a different... various movies and stuff like that. You may have noticed that. Lethal Weapon, in fact, appears quite a lot in various different things. I don't know why. I think it's just such a classic defining era film for the cliches of that genre, thrillers. So yeah, that was always one. I think it's probably my favourite one, the guy on the ledge. People are always talking about the TV thing, and obviously other people are writing it and stuff now. I'm not directly involved in, there's stuff going on, but it's nothing imminent, but we've had people working on it and stuff. But if I was ever to write a script for it, I think the opening of my version of it would be with that scene, I think. Last Orders, that's got, again, trying to grab people and stuff. The prologue is Bunny's funeral, which I can remember was quite an emotive thing to write. I know people have sort of said they got upset reading it and stuff. Genuinely, and it's a weird thing, but yeah, I did, because you try and get into the emotion. I'm quite a big soft idiot. So when you get into the emotion of it, I do remember distinctly kind of being moved writing it. Yeah, just weirdly, yeah, I don't know why. But yeah, it did become quite a big thing for me at the time. And then chapter one proper is DSI Susan Burns discovering a body. And I guess it's kind of emblematic of my writing. I guess why my books generally differ in style from a lot of people's, and it's something, these things you either like or you don't, is that it's discovering a body, which is a very, you know, that's a classic start to a lot of crime books. But in my one, it was mainly taken up, if you can remember it, with DSI Susan Burns dealing with a builder who makes a sexist remark at her and catcalls her, basically, and then she destroys the guy. And then they find the body. But yeah, really the defining thing is her destroying the guy, which is, it's just a weird thing. I always try and come with a different angle of stuff, and that was one that I've enjoyed. Speaking of different angles, Dead Man Sins, the book after that. These are kind of going in sort of chronological order, I guess, but don't worry too much about that. Dead Man Sins, it's because the book 5, the first of the sequels to the prequel that was Angels in the Moonlight. It starts with Bunny and Decky, always a good start, by the seaside. What I love about it is there's a quote from James Joyce in it in the first couple of pages, which makes me look like the kind of person who knows James Joyce. I don't. I'll be honest, I've tried to read James Joyce. I keep getting given it as a present by people, his books. I've never managed to read any one of them, because I think I started, Ulysses is the one that basically seems to be, any book, and this isn't the goat anyone in particular, but any book that people say is, oh, it's incredibly difficult to read, but it's really worth it. I was just like, it's like the same way if people describing food, how incredibly hot it is. Books are not supposed to be in themselves like challenges to have to read. Food should not be a challenge to have to eat. You should enjoy it, you know, or, you know, be moved by it and stuff. But yeah, it shouldn't be like a task that's a real challenge just to get through. At least that's my attitude to these things. I know other people differ. On to the Firewater Blues, where the prologue is the spider, which is, that's the guy where they're meeting in a sports club in London. And again, I liked it because it set that character up well, and it basically gave away what was going to happen in the book, but it made it interesting, I think, because it's one of these, the classic thing with any kind of writing is you have to decide when you tell people what's happening. And, you know, it's all about parsing out the information, and you don't want, it's that classic thing where you don't want the audience to understand what's happening before you've told them, you know, before you want them to, but at the same time, you don't want them to be confused. So oddly, in that situation, I decided in the prologue to explain what the big bad sort of plan was, where oftentimes you won't get that until near the end to really find out what's going on. But it just worked in that one to lay it out. And then actually chapter one of that is proper is also one of my favorites. It's Bunny with the pyromaniacs, where he's doing the thing as the homeless guy, where these guys are attacking homeless guys, and then he's the sort of literally like the flaming angel of vengeance. Again, it just felt like you spend a lot of time in it, but it just feels like that's, you get that chapter right. I know with authors I love, if you read the first chapter and it gets you back into their world, and you really want to grab people again, as I keep saying. And I felt like that was a fun one. It just reminded you who Bunny was. Yeah, The Family Jewels, after that was the prologue, is just a guy getting, listening to Whiskey in the Jar, getting carjacked. Again, it's the prologues, by the way, if you might notice here, the prologues are generally quite they can be quite dark and sort of set like the tone of the story. And then chapter one is almost, a lot of the time, it's reintroducing you to the characters, and it's a quite contrast between the two of them, a prologue and chapter one. Like, I know the Family Jewels chapter one is the, that was one with the opening line, "One of life's inalienable truths is somebody else always seems to be having a better time than you," which isn't a bad opening line. But it's no "I need a dead dog," let's be clear. But yes, it's all about, it's Bunny and Butch in the car having an argument, and she's trying to approve. That's a very Irish thing, actually. Remember I said in Man with the phone call home, the very Irish thing. It's something people from outside of Ireland do not understand. The worst thing you can say about an Irish person is they are no crack. I think this Jarlath Regan might do, a great good friend of mine, a great comedian. I know he's doing gigs in America and stuff now. Look him up if you get a chance. I've been on his podcast and stuff, but he's brilliant. But I think he has a bit about the not being crack. That's how that's a big, in Ireland, that's like a big deal. That's a real proper insult. Yes, and it was all about Butch being worried that she's not crack and literally trying to do jokes and stuff. Disaster Inc. then, when of course Bunny's off to America, that is actually, I'd say, is also one of my very favourite openings. It's one I had in my head for ages, because I love, you know, I'm a big fan of America. Weirdly, I think vast majority of American listeners and readers understand this. I do occasionally get the odd American who seems to think I've got something against America. Quite the contrary, I love America. I've always been fascinated by America as a kid. Big American football fan. Big event. Most of my music I loved, was a lot of it was American rock. Everyone else when I was a kid was into like British bands. I was very much into American bands. So yeah, I've always loved America in many ways. But you know, I think the nature of my books is I literally will take the Michael out of everything, because nothing's off limits, frankly. And again, vast majority of Americans understand that and will appreciate that. You know, I've made far more jokes at the expense of Ireland than I will ever make about anywhere else. But yes, I'm fascinated by America. One of the things I love about America, so many different things, is the diners and stuff. The eating out experience in America is incredible. And the scene there, I had this idea for the scene for ages, and Bunny in that scene. And again, I love it because instantly you're reminded who Bunny is, and he's kind of being a badass in his own inimitable way in a scene that I think you wouldn't get in any other book. So I love that about it, when you can kind of feel like you've done that. On to I Have Sinned, which is book two of McGarry Stateside. The prologue is again a sort of dark thingy with the assassination, and You May Finish, which is literally a priest is praying and a guy tells him he can finish praying before he shoots him, sort of thing. And then the first chapter is Bunny in Confession, which works well because I think it's funny in the way, you know, there's bits about confession and stuff that are funny, but also it actually establishes exactly what the book is about, which I always enjoy. The Quiet Man, chapter one of that is The Cocktail Barman, which is, I do have a tendency when I write, and people either enjoy this or they don't, where I will do like a mini story in a book where you meet a character and find out a load about them and you'll never meet them again, but it sort of serves a purpose. And I've kind of been told by writing teachers and stuff not to do that, as well as, by the way, not to start with dialogue. I've been told by writers that's a writer thing, that's a terrible thing to do, starting a chapter with dialogue, but it's one of the things I will do occasionally. Because it's just the way I write. I've never been properly trained to do these things. I've got my own, so for better or worse, I guess I got, you know, my own little foibles like that. But yes, The Cocktail Barman, and actually the big thing with The Quiet Man, it starts with Bunny on falling off a horse, and basically being picked up off the ground after falling off a horse. What I love about that is, I've never actually used this, but I did say in one of the earlier books, and it's one of these things that came out of nowhere, Bunny explains to somebody, I think possibly Decky, but it could be anybody else, I really don't know, that Bunny is a family name, and that there's been loads of Bunnies throughout history, if you like, which I thought was hilarious, because I thought it'd be great to do different versions of Bunny throughout history. And yeah, I've never done that, but I always had the idea of Bunny as a, I don't know if you can hear him, but my dog is at the door of my office demanding to be let in with his little angry face on him. But yes, Bunny as a cowboy was one of the things I always loved the idea of. So excuse me a second, I'm going to have to pause my recording to let Diller into the office. And we're back. I've never had a break in the middle of one of these before, at least not an official one. I keep always getting these things from things saying I could make money putting in adverts in my podcast, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. It's just annoying. I don't like it in other people's podcasts. I'm not doing it in this one. But anyway, Diller is now here. He apologises for the interruption. When I'm recording this, it's 6:30 at night. I'm pretty sure Wonderwife has just given him and his brother their tea, and hence he has a burst of energy, and he basically comes up to my office, which is the far end of our garden, and demands I leave and come down to the house because he can only relax when everyone's in the same place. Anyway, that's nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but you know me. Incidentally, if you read my last newsletter, we do have the thing where if I hum the opening lines to The Final Countdown by Europe, we've discovered really Diller will stand up and run out of the office and run down to the house. Fascinating what goes on in his weird little canine brain. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yes. The other openings to books and stuff, Other Plans, which is the most recent McGarry Stateside. Again, that's a chapter. God, I spent an awful lot of time on that chapter. It opens with the sisters in New York. And I guess it was just, again, because it sets the tone for the whole thing. And it's the Exceptional Whale chapter, and it's Sister Dorothy. And I love it as an opening, but I spent a lot of time reworking it. I think because you wanted to know exactly, it was important what was in it and how it set the whole thing out. So it was one of these things I can remember it being. A lot of times chapters sort of flow quite naturally. That one, just I went back and tweaked and tweaked and tweaked because you just want to make sure you're getting it right on the button. And then for the MCM Investigations ones, the final game, the opening line is Danny emitted a girlish squeal as Esther's hand grabbed his left buttock. It's arrested grabbing, literally. But that whole book, I think, starts with, there is a whole thing where Paul's on a mission. And if I'm honest, I remember I had this idea. I think it's one of the things I always try and be careful with, how much time I spend thinking about the next book. Because I think what happened there was, I was thinking about that all the time I was writing the previous book or whatever I was doing. And so by the time I got to it, the opening chapter idea ended up being several chapters. And while it's fun in its own right, it's not necessarily to do with what's in the book, I think. Which is probably, it's the only one of that where it kind of feels like its own little thing. And then on to Decky Must Die. Decky Must Die was a very interesting opening to write because it's all about Decky McFadden, but he is crucially not 12. He's now a grown-up and he's, I think, 30s, if that the timeline goes. I think there's a note even at the start of the book to emphasise to the reader that Decky's a grown man, because it opens up with him trying to remember the name of a girl he's having a one-night stand with. And obviously, if he's a grown-up, that's one thing. If he's still 12, very different vibe. So to be clear, that was always a thing. But again, yeah, that was one that you spend quite a bit of time on. And then Welcome to Nowhere, which of course is the spin-off featuring her in Smithy and Diller. I'm genuinely confusing myself because it's like, what's the dog's name? He's just perked up because I've said it. That opens up with the... Interestingly, this is a weird thing, but it features in Disaster Inc., where the story of Smithy being in this leprechaun hunt thing because he needs money. And to be clear, it's one of these things where the whole point was it's a real low point for him because he hates that kind of thing. And it wasn't me playing it for, you know, the sort of city, the cheap jokes about any height. The whole point was this is Smithy the character hitting rock bottom because he does the thing he said he'd never do because he's desperate for money. And the leprechaun hunt then just became... how Smithy hits rock bottom, which kind of launches the whole book. There you go. I will tell you, by the way, when it comes to openings, Meanwhile in Dublin, by the way, is, and I'll tell you something else. I did know something weird, actually. Meanwhile in Dublin, again, opens with dialogue, and I'll tell you something else. And there was one of the other short stories, you ain't nothing but both, weirdly, Meanwhile, Good Deeds and Bad Intentions, that opens up with dialogue as well. That is actually genuinely the idea that Bunny dressed as Santa Claus being given out to by a little girl, I think was honestly the whole a large part of where that came from. Meanwhile in Dublin, yeah, I'll tell you something else. Yeah, I was going to say, because it's one of the other stories. I think, and another thing is possibly... the opening to, let me just double check. I think it's the opening to How to Send a Message. And another thing, I'm just saying, yeah, that's right, it was. I'll tell you something else, and I'm just saying, And it opens up with characters using annoying dialogue devices like that, which always, like, I'm just saying, and I'll tell you something else. But despite the fact being very different. The opening to, as I mentioned before, Meanwhile in Dublin is Wonderwise favourite. And it is one, again, I spent a long time in it because you need to get it exactly right. And there's a bunny appears in that story, but how he appears is a unusual device, shall we say. And it took a while to make sure he got that right. But yes, and then the opening to Bloody Christmas is actually one of my favourites. Yeah, it's just, I forgot about this, but I do. It's Bunny with the psychiatrist and the sort of back and forth between them. And yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. And again, that's sort of gets you excited about it when you're writing it, and hopefully you hope that, you know, the reader will also enjoy it. And then Escaped to from Victory. It does have the line about, it's not the first line, but Bunny talking about the St. Jude's team, and he was unsure of the collective noun for a group of preteen boys, a slouch, a bedraggement, and exhaustion, which I did like as a thing. And then there's plenty of stuff with the various different kids. And I must admit, I just thought I was doing the kids in that one as a kind of one-off. But without giving too much away, I think we'll probably see there's a story idea I have. It was almost, I'll finish on this. It was almost a book, because the book I'm writing next, just to give you a quick update, I'm finishing the Mysterious Project myself and Wonderwife working on. That's kind of first draft of that's literally nearly done now. And then the next thing I'm doing after that's definitely a bunny book. I will start writing it. It's going to be called Fortunate Son. And I have actually, we'll say about openings, I have the opening of that in my head for a long time. Hopefully not too long, like I said before. But it, without giving anything else away about the story, it opens with Bunny, Decky, and Decky's granddad sitting in a sauna. So yeah, genuinely looking forward to that. I think it's again, excited to do it. But another book I had idea that was kind of going neck and neck with that. Basically, I had Fortunate Son, the idea, I really liked it. And then another book idea came up for Bunny, which I really liked. And for a while there, I thought that might be getting ahead in the little race. But then I started thinking about Fortunate Son again. I came up with another bits of it. And it was like, oh no, I really want to write that now. So the other one will feature Bunny and the kids from St. Jude's, I think. Quite prominent. Some of the kids from St. Jude's probably prominent. But that'll be done. I'm sure that'll probably be done next year or whatever, the next Bunny book. Or, you know, there might be a McGarry Stateside next. But, you know, anyone who's followed me for a while knows I don't really plan that far ahead. I've got plenty of different books and it's just a case of what happens when. So there you go. That's just a quick rundown of all the openings. And as I said, it's a massive thing for me. I don't know if it's the same for other writers. I'm genuinely going to start asking a few people if they kind of obsess about the opening of the books, because I think I do. And it's, you know, I always think once you get that, it's almost like the hook of a really good song, hopefully. So there you go. Shorts will be out when you hear this, presumably now. The audiobook and Audible might take a while. It's on whiteheartirishman.com right now. You can get it, listen to your book funnel. And I think that's the deluxe edition, which has a little bit of me as well as all Morgan read and everything. And I hope you enjoy it. There's something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue in there. Hopefully there's something for all of you. And the books will also be in Kindle Unlimited and stuff as well, which they've not been, the short story. So people have asked and we have done that. And then the next thing I'll get from Bunny will be a full novel, almost certainly Fortunate Sons, unless something unfortunate happens. But fingers crossed, all going well. Anyway, I hope you enjoy your life, enjoy the book, and I'll speak to you again at some point in the future. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to The Bunnycast. If you'd like to hear more, then please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts, as that way we know you want them to continue. The audiobooks of all the Dublin Trilogy are available from Audible, iTunes and anywhere else audiobooks are sold. This podcast is written and presented by me, Cuaigh McDonald, with the stories being read by Morgan C. Jones. The audiobook production is by Sound Entertaining Limited. Podcast production is by Richard Massera, with the artwork done by Wonderwife. Copyright everything bar the music, McFory Inc. 2018. And speaking of the music, the killer track you're hearing right now is from Honour Among Thieves, a new band that is a merger of the Bible Code Sundays and Brand New Zeros. Do check them out. Of Let's try to see.